Now, in addition to the handful of drive-in theaters still operating around the state, many parts of Wisconsin are getting pop-up drive-in theaters as well, setting up in areas like sports fields and parking lots. While there's still a lot of uncertainty about traditional theaters reopening, drive-ins have embraced their potential role as the entertainment of the summer. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have memories of going to a drive-in theater? What was it like? Do you still go to the few that have stuck around over the years? Have you been to one of these pop-up drive-in movies? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gillies is an assistant professor of English and Film Studies at UW-Milwaukee. She's the author of the book The Optical Vacuum, Spectatorship, and Modernized American Theater Architecture. Jocelyn, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
Well, Jocelyn, I think in recent film history, drive-in theaters are kind of an afterthought lately. Do you see them maybe getting more popular now with people not quite ready to crowd into a theater?
I definitely do. And it's really funny. Drive-ins actually have a long history of being positioned as the healthier alternative to the traditional movie theater, especially during something like a polio outbreak in California in the 50s when children were quarantined from the theater. Drive-in owners took the opportunity to advertise their theaters as the healthy place to go where you would not get sick.
Interesting. And yeah, I know theaters have been a concern for health going back to at least the so-called Spanish flu over a century ago. But I got to say, most of my life and my movie-going experience, I haven't stopped and thought at all about the health risks of being at a theater. It takes some kind of special outbreak like this to put that first and foremost in our mind, it seems like.
It really does, and maybe that's a good thing. But at the same time, I think it also enables us to consider these questions about how the theater has always sort of functioned as a place where there's conversations going on around health and around what it means to be a healthy American citizen.
Well, I want to give a listen to something taking us back in time just a little.
It's refreshment time, folks.
Taste that beats the others cold. Pepsi pours it on.
That's a commercial encouraging drive-in attendees to grab some Pepsi during the intermission. Take us back in time. What would it be like to visit a drive-in movie? I'm just old enough to have done this some as a kid, but to visit, for those who haven't, take us back to the drive-in movie at the height of popularity.
The height of popularity would be about 1956. That's when we That is when they are the most popular. that's when we've got about 4,000 theaters, drive-in theaters around the country, which is a pretty staggering number. So you would load up your car with as many people as possible because drive-ins are a great way to experience movies for a really cheap ticket price. You'd pull up to the drive-in, pay your admission fee, find a spot, tune your dial to the FM station with the brand new speakers in your car. That's a real possibility in the mid-1950s when it wasn't before. You'd watch the movie, probably not pay that much attention to it. If you're a teenager, you're probably making out in the back seat with your girlfriend. Head over to the playground if you're a family and let your kids run around on the swing set while you're watching whatever B-horror or sci-fi movie is showing up there. And definitely hit the concession stand for a lot of snacks.
Now, I remember the one double feature I remember at a drive-thru as a kid was Smokey and the Bandit, and I was wide awake for that. And then The Sting, and I think that was more for the grown-ups. I feel like I fell asleep in back of the station wagon, I'm going to say. Is there something about the kinds of movies that people made with drive-in theaters in mind?
Absolutely. Especially in the 1950s, which again is the real height of popularity for the theater. The drive-in is thought of as a kind of like unsavory place by a lot of the main Hollywood producers. They didn't want to send their big ticket items to the drive-in theater at that point in time for a lot of reasons that I'd actually love to talk about. So instead, you get a lot of cheaper films that fill the drive-in market. American International Pictures in particular was making a glut of cheap horror, sci-fi, and thriller movies that they could just throw up on screen at the drive-in, since we know that what's going on at the drive-in is not necessarily paying attention to the movie.
And you said for a lot of reasons that you want to talk about for the changing movies at the time. Go for it.
Yeah, I'd love to. I think we have this idea now that the drive-in is this place of kind of novelty and silliness. It's full of nostalgia. But at the time, it was thought of as not as genteel as the urban movie theater that you might go to on a fancier night out. And that's certainly because they were, you know, in more rural locations, you needed a lot of space for a drive-in. But one of the most interesting things about the drive-in in the mid-1950s is that many movie theaters across the country at that time were segregated spaces, especially in the Jim Crow South. But drive-ins tended not to be. So even in the South, it's the one space, the one theatrical space that's non-segregated. So you have all manner of American citizens coming to the drive-in in the mid-50s, black, white, working class, people of all different abilities, families, teenagers carousing. And it's just this kind of amazing combination of all sorts of people in one place at once. A lot of the time, again, not paying attention. So that then, I think, leads to an assumption that it's not as sophisticated and genteel a space, but it's really a space of Americanness.
Jocelyn Sapaniak-Galise is with us from UW-Milwaukee, looking at drive-in theaters, the past, present, and maybe future, as they might look like an attractive alternative as theaters, you know, those indoor ones are maybe a little slower to open as we hopefully soon emerge from a pandemic. Jocelyn, I know a big question is, you know, as things start to get back to something like normal, are we going to be so hungry to get out of the house to do anything that, yeah, we'll do drive-in theaters, we'll do the indoor and sit five spaces apart or whatever? Or are we building this habit of watching at home and we've maybe added a streaming service and forget about it? We don't need to leave the house to see movies anymore. What are you watching for as we collectively make that decision?
Right. It's a really great question. I know that the Marcus Theaters are sponsoring some kind of thrown together drive-ins in the area right now, and they've actually been quite popular. But they're showing older movies, right? They're showing movies like Jaws. They're celebrating that kind of nostalgia for what film going once was. And I think that's really telling, because it's going to be really hard for movie theaters to bounce back from the pandemic. It's going to be extremely difficult because they were already at a major disadvantage because of all the streaming technologies and so on that you point to. I kind of have an expectation that we really might see a continued resurgence of the drive-in, but that it will be in this kind of niche market that will be more about nostalgia, you know, and this kind of lost practice of movie going, and how that might be a bit of a fetish for seeing movies again.
Are we losing something, do you think, by watching at home in our living rooms when for most of their history, movies were this collective experience? I'm watching it with, you know, these people at this time in this theater or in this parking lot.
Absolutely. I am somebody who really, really believes in the value of being together in public. And when we go to a movie theater or to a drive-in, any kind of public viewing experience, we're with a bunch of people that we didn't really choose to be with. They could be any number of members of any kinds of cross-sections of society that we might not necessarily encounter normally in our everyday lives. And then we're sitting together and experiencing the same thing together. I think that is incredibly valuable. I think that can often be a kind of democratic activity. And I really hope that we are able to return to that, because it is a way for people to come together and experience something at the same time.
So, Jocelyn, are you planning to track down some either pop-up or ongoing drive-in theaters to watch movies this summer?
I think I might try one this summer. Like everybody, I'm pretty afraid of the pandemic, but it does seem like a nice way to be able to get out a little bit and experience something with a bunch of other people at the same time.
Jocelyn, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jocelyn Sapaniak-Galise is an assistant professor of English and film studies at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She wrote the book, The Optical Vacuum, Spectatorship and Modernized American Theater Architecture. She joined us today to talk about drive-in theaters, their heyday, and why they may make a comeback as movie theaters, indoor ones, are slower to reopen amid the pandemic. Well, what about you? Are you a fan of the drive-in, or were you when they were more readily accessible? What were some of your favorite memories, the things you liked about it, maybe the things you didn't like about it so much? And have you checked out some of the pop-up drive-in theaters that people have been starting to offer over the last really month and a half or so? Tell us about it. You can email ideas@WPR.org, or you can share your experiences, as always, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tell us about your drive-in movie story.